This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome to ENN, which today is brought to you by our friends. Wait for it, everyone. This is a big deal at Fidelis Care. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You have a lot of Rothenberg in you.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
I like walking around in my underwear. That was a big thing when I lived with, I was a guy and another girl. And she just would not let me walk around in my underwear, and I missed it.
So it was the mirror image of Three's Company.
Yes.
Interesting. Were you Chrissy?
I always thought of myself as a Janet. Spunky, you know, underratedly hot.
You think you're underratedly hot?
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Right. And nobody liked Suzanne Summers, supposedly, right?
The person or the character, Chrissy Snow?
The person.
No, the person.
It seems her husband likes her. They're still rocking it in the 70s.
I think that, wow, she's in her 70s. Don't say it. I can't do it.
By the way, a jar from Oz says he consumes the show nude.
She's 74?
Her husband's like 80, and they supposedly have a very active off-court life.
Oh, who says?
They do.
Where are you reading this? I know you consume a lot, but my God, man.
She talks about it.
Where? Where does she talk? Are you in her house?
No, but TMZ always has these quotes from her that they're very active, the two of them.
You consume too much, Don. Don, at a certain point, isn't there too much news?
Well, the thing about you know Michael long enough to know that when he wants it to be true, he makes it true.
Don't Suzanne you understand? I'm trying to give information and joy to our listeners.
Suzanne Summers, 74, and Alan Hamill, 84, have sex 3 times before noon.
Now, where'd you read that? Am I right then? Right,
page 6.
I don't.
Okay. I'd like to call them fraudulent.
Right. Yeah. Or can you define sex?
Yeah.
They smile at each other?
They could be at that point. There's nothing going on that you'd want to see and give joy to people.
Maybe they give joy to each other, you animal.
But that in turn does not make.
I just hate when celebrities do this because they create these unrealistic things that real people start to believe. My girlfriends go, you do not have sex twice a day. It's no forced march, she continued. I'm in the mood. He's in the mood. Sometimes it's once a day. Sometimes later in the day. You're in the mood again because what are you going to do during the pandemic? I just want everyone out there who's been married for a while to know. Don't worry. They're lying.
I always thought of myself as a Janet. Spunky. You know, underratedly hot.
Peter, do I get an apology from you? I didn't make it up. I read it.
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, no, because I don't. Oh, at first I said, did I ever doubt you, or did I always say, where do you find this stuff?
I think there was a semblance of doubt in your voice, and
no,
I didn't like it.
No.
You're a nudist.
Pipe down, Janet.
Would you at least admit, Michael, that your level of belief in something comes from how badly you want it to be true?
Well, I mean, that's something that has to be decided in Vienna. I don't know if I could tell you.
Let's talk Robert Sala for a second, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good.
Here's Coach Saleh being asked if Zach Wilson's improving, which I basically
the big thing for Zach, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's the footwork, taking what he's been doing week in, day in and day out, and taking it to the football field on Sunday, and trusting his footwork, trusting his eye placement, trusting the progression within the offense, and that's all encompassing. In that regard, he has been improving. Now I just got to go show it. So even though people haven't seen the improvement, we're seeing the improvement for him. Now he just got to go show the world. So we're excited about the direction he's going in, and eventually it's going to pop.
You know, and he could have been describing, you know, showering in the gym. It's all about foot placement and eye work.
But also, and I don't know if he intends to do this, but I always hate that. What Saleh's basically saying is you don't know enough football to see it the way we see it, so he's doing fine.
But he's right, though.
But
I
you
didn't
can't,
take that
But then
that
you
way.
Can't call him on it then. So our opinion is completely valueless. All right, that's fine. But we're not the only ones saying it. We're also getting it from people that are former quarterbacks, that are experts. But how do you – this is almost like the conversation we had earlier about being thin-skinned. Like, how do you respond to that? Oh, listen, you guys can't see it, but we can see it. He's improving. So we just got to take it on spec, right?
Yeah, no, we can give our opinion.
Just making it up.
And then in the end, when it doesn't work out and the person's career totally fizzles, you never get to go back and say, hey, remember all those press conferences when you told us things were happening? Nothing was actually happening, huh?
But can we at least admit that that's coach speak? Like, oh, we had a great week of practice. All the stuff that gets thrown out there, it's basically know your role.
But don't you believe, Don, I mean, if somebody talks to a fan or a listener talks to us about how we do the show, we know how to do the show better than they would. And I would assume and hope that Robert Saleh knows way more football than all of us and all the fans.
I'm saying of course he does. And he probably is right. There are things that we look at that we can't see that he can see. But he could also be making it up because we can't call him on it. And the evidence that maybe it's not 100% true is, did Dan Orlovsky say that? Did Steve Young say that? Have we heard anybody outside the organization say any of that? So they're the only ones that know. So, and this is just not to Robert Saleh. This is everybody. This is Joe Judge. This is all of them. It's when coaches lose games, they always come back and say, well, we look at it differently. We see it differently than you do. Well, unfortunately, the only thing we can go by is the results. And the results have not been nearly good
enough. And that's
how
we judge things.
Right.
Saleh was also asked if LaFleur's been doing a good job.
I thought he's done a good job. When things work, you're a genius. When they don't, you're an idiot. And that's what it is. I mean, that's the NFL forever and a day. It's, you know, you look at the play calling. I mean, if you want to ever come sit down with me, I'll go right through a game with you and just show the thoughtfulness whenever you want. Yeah, let me know, man. I'm serious. The thoughtfulness and the calls and the things that are happening and the opportunities that are out there. Now, are there things that he needs to fix? Absolutely. There's a couple of things where there's no need to put the offense in a situation with a certain play call. But at the same time, he's also put the offense in situations to be successful. And there's times where the offense has bailed out a call, and there's times where once it all clicks, people will start to appreciate the job he's doing.
I'll tell you what, I feel cheap and diminished right now. I thought when he invited us for the All 22 that it was special. Mm-hmm. Now he's inviting everybody and their mother. Mm-hmm. And second thing, reason number 5,085, we shouldn't even listen to these interviews anymore. Let's say that LaFleur was doing a bad job. Would Robert Saleh say it? Of course not. These guys can't be honest. Well, I'm not saying they have an inability to, but they can't in their position. If he thinks that he's doing a poor job, he's telling him behind the scenes. He's not going to tell the media. Why are we wasting our time asking it? I asked the same question.
Hey, we're trying to get to the bottom of this. And not for us, but for the people that really care about the Jets and want to know if they're moving in the right direction. Because, again, they can't see it the way these professional coaches can. If the coach is doing a good job, that means the players are doing a poor job. So is he saying that Joe Douglas hasn't given him the personnel? If Joe Douglas is giving him the personnel, then why is it not working if the coach is doing a good job? You're 0-3, and let's be honest, too. And I know we didn't expect much from this team, but they have been non-competitive in 2.5 of the 3 games they've played. The only thing that they've really looked pretty good is the second half of the Carolina game. That's been it. They got shut out in the first half of the Carolina game, and since the second half of that Panther game, they've scored 0 touchdowns. But the coach is doing a good job, and the quarterback is moving along. Well, then shouldn't we see something?
There was 162 total yards, guys, last game. 162. Right. Can I, by the way, can I ask you a question? I'm not bright, but can I ask a question? All right, I'll go ahead.
Yes. I thought it was rhetorical. I apologize.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit this. I don't know that I recall seeing this. I'm sure it's very common, and I'm just having a brain fart, whatever. Zach Wilson was 19 of 35 for 160 yards. The team was 19 of 35 for 119. They subtract the interception return yards out of the – oh, that's sack yards.
No, yeah, sack yards, not return yards.
But that's
sack yards.
But it's
or
under
lost
passing.
By the running back, losses in the back.
No. But I'm not talking about total yards for the offense.
Oh, the passing, they subtract the sack yardage.
They subtract the sack yardage. I mean, if you look at Justin Fields, they had 1 yard of offense.
Got it. Yeah, it's pretty rough. So, I mean, Zach technically threw for 160 yards, and then they rushed for 43 yards.
And if he keeps getting sacked, he is, I mean, they're going to start calling him Zach Wilson. They will.
Hey,
why did you do that? Why did you just do that?
Thank you, Don. Thanks for listening to the show, Don.
I bet it doesn't even bother Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Well, you did it. You did it by accident, I thought.
No.
You think I do anything by accident?
Yes.
I mean, I might misspeak, but I don't do anything by accident. Something as brilliant as Zach Wilson, I made that up.
So when he's completely bombarded with it and ends up in just hours and hours of therapy, we can remember you're the one who came up with Zach Wilson.
No, I think you're going to have to blame Joe Douglas for not building an offensive line, so he became Zach Wilson.
I'm not saying I don't believe in this team. I think Saleh's a good coach. I still believe that Joe Douglas is a good general manager. I think they're in a good place, and they're going to move forward. But it still, we have to judge what we've seen, and not every loss is created equal, right? You're 0-3. I wouldn't say the three teams that they lost to are all like Super Bowl championship teams. Denver's a good team. What's Denver going to be this year? Maybe a 10-win team?
Maybe.
All right. What are the Panthers? They're off to a 3-0 start, but are the Panthers going to win that division or the Buccaneers?
I think the Panthers will.
All right. And the Patriots are probably going to finish under 500.
I joke.
You said it too straight. It sounded legit.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't a good delivery. I'm sorry.
Hey, don't sleep on my boy Sam and the Panthers. Don't you guys think this is a good year for Jets fans to just root for the Panthers?
No.
I mean, listen, if Nancy was able to follow Dave Righetti, why can't a Jets fan go, you know what, I'm going to root for Sam and the Panthers this year. Shh.
You realize they have the Panthers draft picks, Peter. Why are they going to root for them?
Oh, that's a very good point.
You've got to be rooting for everybody the Panthers play and the Seahawks play.
Right. Right.
What's wrong with your dog right now? What's going on? Is that Rocky or Bear?
Always, right?
That being said, pipe down, Rocky.
It's both of them.
Are the dogs now in a relationship too?
Shut up! Shut up, Bear!
Michael, are the pets like kids, or can they like form their own relationship?
No, they could form their own relationship.
They have their own – right now, Bear's barking on the other side of the door for some reason. I don't know why. And when Bear barks on the other side of the door, he's locked out. Rocky then barks on this side of the door.
In spending time around Bear, Don, not a relationship type. He drives people away. Very angry.
Him and Rocky generally get along really well.
But they're forced together. It's a forced marriage because of you two.
But they do get along surprisingly well.
Here's a good idea. I don't know if you would do this, and maybe the station would pay for it. Why don't you put them in a kennel for these 4 hours?
Hey, that's not nice. You know what?
No, I'm not saying put them in a box. Put them in a kennel. Some of these kennels are like Club Med. Stop it.
But I don't. So, you have no idea if that's true.
Club Med. I'm picturing Bear playing like racquetball.
I'm telling you, we were investigating kennels when we went up to Cooperstown and then Newport. And, I mean, they do hot oil rubs on the dogs and everything. So how much money do you want to spend?
Taking Bear to a quote-unquote kennel would be the equivalent of taking Don, forcing Don to spend every day of his life in, like, the VIP tent at the Masters. it would be his number one nightmare.
But it's my number one nightmare and our listeners' nightmare that this dog barks during a very important segment of the show.
Shut like up, Bear! Michael.
You ever hear Butter bark? No. You ever hear Mr. Orange purr? No. Control your dog and cat.
Mr. Orange is just, you, sometimes you catch him in the corner, just laid back.
That's how you listen to the show. He's got no clothes on. That's what you do.
It is true.
Now, for the record, though, let me just say about Butter. You don't know who Butter is yet. Bear didn't bark till he was like 3 years old. Barely a peep came out of him till he was three. And maybe now he won't shut his trap.
Maybe he wasn't a smart dog. There's some children that don't talk until they're five.
And so you're saying every child out there who doesn't talk till later is not bright?
I didn't say not bright. They're slower.
There's an issue.
For Bear, it was just a matter of, you know, he came from a broken home. He came from a kill shelter in Los Angeles. It took him time.
So you're saying that this show is more important than Bear's well-being?
That's what Michael's saying. That's right.
Yes.
And also, yeah, I mean, I hate to bring this up, and then there was another broken heart. This dog doesn't know what's going on.
But this is his
parents
home.
Have split. It's not good.
This is his home, though. He's in.
But he goes home to mommy every now and then.
Yeah, but we can't.
He's confused, and then his dad is doing a 4-hour gab fest where he didn't even hear me say Sack Wilson.
I heard it. I didn't know you were turning it into a thing. I thought it was an actual slip of the tongue.
I've said it 6 times. How many times can I slip my tongue?
That's a fair point. All right, guys, it's time for us to move on.
Yeah, Mr. Orange Purr.
Kenny Golladay asked why he's not running deep routes for the Giants.
A lot of excitement that, you know, what you did in Detroit was see big plays down the field. Why do you think those haven't been happening in the first 3 weeks?
I mean, I don't really have an answer to that.
Well, I mean, are you running different routes? Because, again, in Detroit, it was like you're deeper.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to run with, you know, the guys want me to run. I just look at it as whenever my number's called, I just want to go out there and make the play. You know, if it's, you know, short or long, I just got to go out there and make the play. That's my mindset.
Obviously, they filmed that in a wind tunnel.
I really do not understand why you don't throw the ball downfield. The odds are in your favor. You talk about analytics, Michael.
Yeah, somebody's going to get pass interference.
Pass interference, defensive hold, and because these corners, and the corner's got to be one of the toughest positions to play in all sports. If you do your job, nobody notices, and if you get burned, it's the reason it happened. And so they're afraid they're going to get called for the penalty, so they give you a little cushion, and the yards are there. Steve Young says every Monday. So go out there, and why aren't you throwing the ball downfield? Are you waiting for guys to just be wide open? God, how many times do you see a catch, Peter? The guy's not open. He climbs over the defensive back, catches the ball. There's a flag, and they still call him for pass interference. You know, it's going to go your way. But what? Honestly, 70% of the time?
By the way, breaking news. I got a text yesterday from Jeff Passan during the game. His son did, in fact, break his hand.
Oh, no.
Playing flag football.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to have to wrap up part one of ENN.
Oh, there's a two-parter today.
It's a two-parter today. That's right. Of course it is. That will do it for part one, which was brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care, community offices are open and can help you with all your health insurance needs. Visit FideliscCare.org/offices to learn more.
Bye, yes. Pre-game's next. Game on Picks 11. Coming back right here with more VNN on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we're back. ENN on this Wednesday evening, 6:31. Beautiful, very fall day.
Ooh, it's chilly.
Right now. Today's a little bit on the chillier side, but I will just say I'm grateful so far, and granted it's early, that we have, over the last week and a half or so, Don, gotten like real fall days. It's been really fall, you know?
This was always my favorite time of year after school. Like when it was school time, it was always so depressing. That meant you had to go back to school. But now I like that weather. Get maybe a little jacket.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best weather.
It's nice.
And can I tell you the truth, Don? As a on the flip side of that coin, because of no longer being in school and not being a kid, I have no use for winter anymore. Give me fall. If I could get fall all year, I'd be 100% good. One nice snow day. I enjoy taking a good look at the snow once. This is nice. This is nice. And then back to fall.
Yeah, fall, summer. I'm good.
Yeah, spring.
Spring's nice. Yeah,
summer's third for me. It's fall, spring, summer, winter. That's it. Fall, because fall jackets and that the chilly air at night is great. But then it's that day it turns where I get up to go do Hot 97 in the morning. I walk outside and I go, oh, it's not chilly like fall. It feels like winter. And it usually happens down about October 20th.
Well, the only good thing about winter is that it makes the spring that much better.
Because I know, but then
when
then
the weather breaks and starts to get warmer out, you really appreciate it. You can only appreciate that if you had a cold winter. And apparently, from what they're saying, if you still get your information from the Farmer's Almanac, but apparently people still do, it will be a bitterly cold winter.
So, Seth Wickersham keeps dropping interesting stuff about Brady and Belichick. Mm. He was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Let's hear what he had to say about Brady and Belichick.
Tom Brady had talked for years about how he was sure that the moment that Bill didn't think that he could play at the highest level, that they might move on from him. And even though Robert Kraft had kind of said that Brady had earned the right to walk away on his own terms, and he kind of did that by walking away as a free agent, that's how things ended. And I, in terms of the pregame, I don't know. I think that these two guys, what they did together for 20 years is amazing. And to have two high achievers be able to produce that for 20 years is amazing. And my gut would tell me that there's a lot of love between them, even if right now I think that it seems like that things are strained.
I'm kind of getting bored of this because I love football. I love the game. I don't need all the drama, but people just hang on this. Like every word, Brady, Belichick, it's over. Okay. And we don't know. I mean, history will look back. You can't judge it now because it's not a fair fight. Patriots aren't as good as Tampa. So it's not like anything is being solidified here. It's going to be a tough spot for the Patriots to be able to win on Sunday because they're not as good as the Buccaneers. So when that game's over and the Brady throws three interceptions and the Buccaneers win 28-10, that means game, set, match. See? It was all Brady. Why do we live in a world now, especially with these players, Peter, where we painstakingly try to take credit away from the coach and always give it to the player? And when we hear these stories about how stoic he was and he didn't treat Brady differently than all the other players, he treated him like a 20-year-old instead of a 40-year-old. Like, aren't you kind of saying that, like, that the coach doesn't matter, or the coach is coach? This is what coaches do.
I think in the case of Belichick, people are really happy. I can only speak for myself. To kind of give it to Brady over Belichick because he's just so unlikable. That's his fault. But you know, like the game he plays of I have zero personality, all I do is win. In the long run, the truth is, like as an outsider, I can hate on Brady all I want, but honestly, he seems like a pretty affable, cool dude.
Yeah,
and I think people are happy to take away the credit from Belichick.
But I don't think that's not right. It shouldn't be a popularity contest.
I mean is it not right,
coach?
Don? Fine, but we all manage the way that we're perceived. Like, no one told him to be a complete turnoff to everyone he ever interacted with in life.
But we also spend a lot of time where we say, boy, why do we even bother interviewing these coaches? Because they go on and on and on and not really saying anything.
True. But you're allowed to be nice.
I think that there's a lot of negative. Belichick definitely comes across like, I can't be bothered. All right, because he can't be. He doesn't. But all right, that's fine. You don't have to like Bill Belichick. But let's not all of a sudden now use that unlikability to try to devalue what he meant. I don't think Tom Brady is winning all these Super Bowls without Belichick. I don't think Belichick's winning them without Tom Brady. They certainly needed each other, for sure. But let's not make all this winning that Brady's going to do post-Belichick as some proof that Brady was the one that created that dynasty, that Belichick was along for the ride. No. Belichick did an outstanding job, and Tom did an outstanding job. But it's just like a lot of people just seem to be hanging on the rim, and that's fine. Don't like Bill. But let's not all of a sudden make it seem like he's not a good coach. What does he have to work with? Cam Newton wasn't very good last year. He's got Mac Jones, who we don't know what he's going to be as a quarterback. Bill Belichick is still a very, very good coach and probably the greatest coach football has ever had. And Vince Lombardi, you know, nobody liked Vince. They always said we respected him, but we didn't like him. But now the modern era is I don't know if there's any respect anymore. When you don't like him, you don't respect him. I just think there's a lot of piling on.
Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers, who was on with Pat McAfee, saying that Sunday was a bad day for the haters.
Well, it's a rough night, I guess, for some of those he doesn't care campers. I love the game, man. I love competing. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like having the ball in your hands with a chance to win the game late in the game. That's what we live for. That's what we dream about. We don't dream about, you know, kneel downs at the end of games. We dream about, okay, we got to go down and put the ball in position to either win it with a field goal or win it with a touchdown. That's what you dream about.
I love him saying that, though. It's such a great line that I haven't really heard. We don't dream about kneel downs.
Right.
It's so true, right? Like, blowouts are cool, but there's not one kid who's like, one day I want to make it to the championship game and I want to be up so big that I just get to end the game kneeling down.
Yeah.
Like, no one says that.
No, you don't want to see that happen. But, you know, but Rodgers also needs to know that opening day happened. Okay, that was not good. So he bounced back. I don't think there was anybody that doubted they were going to win that game when there was 37 seconds left. Isn't that amazing? 37 seconds left, no timeouts, and I don't think there was anybody that thought San Francisco was winning that game.
And you know what I think is even more interesting about that, Don? I mean, number one, of course, when it's Aaron Rodgers, no one doubts it. But, Don, there's like 10 quarterbacks in football, but the way the game's played, that I wouldn't doubt, that I would be sure. I would think Mahomes would do it.
Yeah.
I would think Lamar would get down there. I would certainly think Rodgers. I would think Brady. You go down the list, and the top guys in this version of the league, I mean, hell, right now you probably think Derek Carr would do it, right?
Well, and a lot of those situations, to relate it back to the Jets and the Giants, it's so frustrating is the reason, let's just say Jones, because Zach Wilson's been in the league for 3 games, right? But with Jones, like, what do you defend? Like, just they don't really show you much. Like, with Aaron Rodgers, anything can happen here. He can do anything. But the Giants have dumbed it down to the point where, like, what do you really have to worry about? What are they going to do? They don't really throw the ball downfield. But if you throw the ball downfield during the course of the game and you get to those situations, like, this guy might do anything. But that's why I want to see the Giants open it up. So you throw a few picks. All of a sudden we care about fantasy points. I'm not saying you got to be like Brett Favre, but, you know, go out there, take some chances. Heck, Peter, on a 3rd and 10 from your own 20, throw the ball 80 yards down the field. And if it's picked off right, it's a glorified punt. Who cares? But maybe, just maybe, Galladay comes down with a catch, or there's a pass interference, or there's a holding penalty for an automatic first down. God, to be this conservative in a sport that's just begging for you to open it up is just so frustrating.
I agree with you 100%, and especially when you have very little to worry about with these teams in New York. I mean, how far do you think this thing's going this year? I mean,
and we've talked about it with the Jets too. It's not about wins and losses. So why not just go out and just, all right, if he's going to throw 4 interceptions, why don't you do it aggressively? And maybe, just maybe, a few good things happen. Now you got the defense on their heels. Anything can happen in this particular moment. You open up the playbook. Any one of 10 plays can happen on this particular down. That's what works in this league.
Well, listen, I know we don't talk about boxing as much as I might like on this show, but I can't believe it took us till 6:41 to mention that Manny Pacquiao, the only 8-division champion in the history of boxing, announced his retirement just shy of 43 years old, coming off of that loss to Yordanis Ugas a couple of months ago. He won his first title at 108 pounds and also won the title at 154 pounds. He also became, I believe, the oldest welterweight ever to win a title, 12 in all. He released a 14-minute retirement video. Of course, he's a sitting senator in the Philippines, and he will run for the president, the presidency of the Philippines in May's election. He ends his career, even with all those losses late in his career, 62-8-2, 39 knockouts, and he was going to have, of course, that super fight with Errol Spence Jr. that would have been the real way to send off his career. But instead, a detached retina for Spence, and he had to take on Ugas instead. But I will just say, you know, number one, of course, Mayweather-Pacquiao goes down as one of the biggest fight extravaganzas of all time. There's no argument there. But, man, Pacquiao in his prime, and really, I take that to be all the way up to a few years ago when he had his fight with Jeff Horn. Pacquiao throughout the entire bulk of his career, if you had nothing to do on a Saturday night and he was fighting, even if it was someone you weren't familiar with or it was someone who was even better than he was always going. You talk about the Yankee season being exciting, ups and Pacquiao would always entertain you every single time. That's the thing I would absolutely say about Manny Pacquiao.
Now, boxing invented the comeback. So do you think this sticks?
He's sort of already come back before, even though he never officially retired. Obviously, if he wins the presidency, it's completely over.
Right.
If he loses, and I have no idea, my Filipino politics knowledge level's not that high. If he loses, there's definitely, especially what we're seeing with, I mean, Oscar De La Hoya is trying to come back in his 50s, okay? So is there a chance that in a couple years, Manny Pacquiao fights again if he's not president? Yeah, I think there's a chance. But I do think this is likely the end.
Now, did he retire to legitimize the presidency run?
And I'm sorry, De La Hoya is 48. I think it's a combination of how he looked in the last fight, you know, and the presidency run. But I think it would be pretty nuts to be running for president in a huge country while also being an active boxer. Although, could have said the same thing about him being a senator.
True.
And either way. But listen, no matter how you cut it, he has had an incredible, incredible career. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
All right, we'll check in with the big fella, find out what's happening with Carlin. It's Don and Peter on the K-Show till 7 on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.